The term Baal means lord, possessor, owner. It can also mean master or husband. The term referred to the farm god of the Canaanites, Phoenicians, that was responsible for crops, flocks, and farm families. This idol of fertility is mentioned 84 times in the Old Testament. 50 times it is mentioned as a reference to a deity. 15 times it is mentioned as a reference to a husband. Baal worship was prevalent throughout the Middle East, especially among the Phoenicians, whose territory was about 120 miles long along the Mediterranean coast. The term Phoenicia is from a Greek word meaning dark red, because the Phoenicians were discoverers of the crimson purple dye derived from the murex shellfish. The Phoenicians became seafarers, shipbuilders, and carpenters. They established colonies at Carthage and Spain. In Genesis chapter 10, the progenitor of the Phoenicians is identified. Please turn to Genesis chapter 10, which you will find the table of nations. Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, beginning at verse 15. It reads, "And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth." And verse 19 says, "And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah and Zeboim, even unto Lasha or Lasha." Sidon, the firstborn of Canaan, was the progenitor of the Sidonians, who later became known as the Phoenicians. They established the port cities of Tyre and Sidon, where the art of glass blowing was discovered. For centuries, these cities and the entire region became a hotbed of idolatry, which was encouraged by the monarchy. One of the kings of Sidon was Ithobel. According to Josephus, Ithobel was a priest of Astarte, who ruled over the kingdom Tyre and Sidon for 32 years. He obtained the kingdom by murdering his predecessor. Astarte was the female idol of war and fertility, and was also recognized in other cultures as Easter or Ishtar, Ashtoreth, and Aphrodite. This idol was the counterpart and the wife of Baal, and both were worshipped together in lewd rituals. Haley's Bible Handbook shows a depiction of the remains of infants buried in jars that were excavated from a cemetery in Megiddo, which is of course known as Armageddon, near the site of an Ashtoreth temple. Ithobel had two children, a boy and a girl. The boy would grow and become a king. The girl became a queen. She was what they would call a strong woman, determined, one who was selfish, one who was vindictive, and one who was unscrupulous. She was ingrained with Baal worship and reintroduced it to Israel, previously practiced during the time of the judges. If you would, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 16, a chapter which describes the reigning and deposing of various Israelite kings. 1 Kings chapter 16. We'll begin at verse 29. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29. It reads, "And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 32 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Eternal above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. Few points to note in these verses. The Ethbaal mentioned here is the one identified in history by Josephus as Ithabaal. Second point, according to what we just read, it wasn't challenging enough or stimulating enough to just follow the sins of Jeroboam, who established two golden calves in Dan and Bethel and established a false Feast of Tabernacles in the 8th month to prevent 10 tribe Israel from going to Jerusalem. That wasn't enough. Through Jezebel's influence, he incorporated Baal worship for Israel. This is Ethbaal. If you would, skip to verse 32, please. And it reads, "And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria." In verse 33, "And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the eternal God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." In Hebrew, the word grove is Asherah and refers to the phallic symbols worshipped through licentious practices in numerous cultures. The original symbol was a tree. This idolatry was reintroduced to Israel through the influence of a woman, Jezebel, whose name means Baal is Lord. Baal is exalted. In our vernacular, his name, or her name rather, is also known as Isabella, a pretty name that's nevertheless tied to Baal worship. In the following chapter, Elijah is introduced, and he prophesied by the revelation of God that it would not rain for 3.5 years. The following chapter shows how God sustained Elijah during that drought, along with the widow and child from Zarephath. If you would please turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, we will read here. 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. 1 Kings 18, it reads, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Eternal came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Eternal greatly, for it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Eternal, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water." Pretty brave during those times. Verse 5, "And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So he divided the land between them that passed throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself to search. Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, verse 7, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that my lord, Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Eternal thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou say, Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. Obadiah asks in so many words, this prophet, did I do something wrong? Do you have something against me? Throughout the drought, the monarchy has been looking for you, Elijah. They made people swear under oath that you weren't located in certain places. And now you want me to just tell the king that you're here? Verse 12. And it shall come to pass, as Obadiah continues on, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the spirit of the Eternal shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Eternal from my youth. I find it interesting that even then, there was a common belief that the Spirit of God miraculously rescued his prophets and relocated them out of danger when necessary, which is likely what happened to Enoch as well. Verse 13, was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Eternal, how I hid 100 men of the Eternal's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. Notice that Jezebel in verses 4 and 13, during the 3.5 year period, led the offensive against the people of God. This is the first time in all of history that the civil authority was being used to stamp out the people of God. This appears to be the first record of religious persecution. Ahab and Jezebel killed many prophets during this 3.5 year period, but they were looking to destroy Elijah. The remainder of this chapter describes Elijah's challenge and conquering of the 850 false prophets of Baal and the groves. Jezebel's influence continues on in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Please turn to 1 Kings 19. First Kings 19, beginning at verse 1. It reads, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Eternal, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Because of Jezebel's decree against him, Elijah wanted to die. He had already avoided Jezebel for 3.5 years. Now he found himself on the run again, and perhaps he just grew tired of running. Jezebel calls her husband, Ahab, to be the worst king Israel ever had because of his idolatry and because of his willingness to kill the prophets of God in order to please his wife and serve Baal. This woman was from Phoenicia, whose chief cities were Tyre and Zidon. In Ezekiel 28, the prophet utters a prophecy against the prince of Tyre, the human leader. Ezekiel 28. Beginning at verse 1, it reads, the word of the Eternal came again unto me, saying, son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord Eternal, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Verse 3, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom, with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord Eternal, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, verse 7, Behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness, their beautiful buildings, their walls and their towers, their palaces would all be destroyed. Verse 8, they shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Will thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. In other words, will you declare your immortality while you're being killed? Verse 10, thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, said the Lord Eternal. Referring, of course, to the first and second deaths because of pride. This prince of Tyre is described by various commentaries as Jezebel's father, Ethbaal, or Ethobelus, who assumes power that does not belong to him, who was a priest of Baal and found it necessary to be worshipped. The spirit of Jezebel continued down throughout history, continued on. If you turn to Daniel chapter 7, where Daniel had a dream during the days of Belshazzar as king of Babylon, Daniel had this dream while he was lying down, and it involved four great beasts coming up out of the sea. Daniel chapter 7. We'll read various verses within the chapter, not all of it. Daniel chapter 7. Beginning at verse 8. Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, it reads, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. This little horn, known in history as the papacy, who uprooted the Vandals, the Ostrogoths, and the Heruli between 429 AD and 554 AD, when all Germanic tribes adhered to, I guess, a religion or a belief called Arianism, teaching that father and son did not always exist together. Please skip to verse 19. Continues on, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout or more pompous than his fellows. I know we skipped a lot of verses. Verses 9 through 18, to catch you up, focuses on the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man who inherits an everlasting kingdom. It spoke of how Daniel was troubled by the dream and how the angel began to interpret the dream. If you would skip to verse 24, it reads, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out or offense of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time, which is where it is believed the 3.5 years of tribulation comes from. The changing of the times and laws, of course, includes the Sabbath to Sunday, amongst other various days that are not celebrated among the masses in this life. This affliction continues from the 3rd century until the tribulation period. Today, the affliction that we are experiencing is more spiritual. After and always having to explain yourself every year about various subjects, including Christmas, Easter, every year having to defend why you don't believe it. Subjects such as Mardi Gras, such as Valentine's Day, and New Year's, of course. Spiritual affliction continues. In these verses, the spirit of Jezebel continues throughout or through the little horn who desires to stamp out the people of God through false prophecy, violence, and the mandate of the civil authority. Before this little horn, the spirit moved through the nation of Babylon, and it continued on. Please turn to Esther chapter 3, the book of Esther. Chapter 3. Esther chapter 3, we'll begin at verse 1. It reads, "After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him." Verse 2, "And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence." Haman, because of his promotion, was to be treated as a god and was expected to be worshipped. This wasn't mere civil respect and obeisance. He desired state worship. Verse 3, "Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai." And he discovered that not only Mordecai, but none of the Jews would bow down and worship him. Verse 7, "In the first month, that is the month Nisan, or Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day, and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. Lots were cast to determine what day would be the luckiest day or best day to destroy the Jews. Verse 8, "And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries." Haman said that he would pay the king to destroy the Jews, and if there was any tax revenue that would be missing as a result of the destruction of the Jews, I'll make up for it by paying for the taxes right now once they're destroyed. In verse 10, it continues, "And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, The silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The spirit of Jezebel, a spirit of destruction, moved through Haman during the days of Queen Esther and the Persian Empire. It continued through Antiochus Epiphanes during his wars against the king of the south, represented by Ptolemy. In Hosea chapter 2, God made a certain promise to Israel regarding Baal. If you would please turn to Hosea 2. Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2, we will begin at verse 13. And it reads, "And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. She decked herself with her earrings and her jewels. She went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Eternal. Therefore," verse 14, "behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, in the valley of Achor, for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, said the Eternal, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name." God promised that he would remove the name of Baal from their vocabulary. The spirit of Jezebel was also at work during the ministry of Jesus Christ. Please turn to Luke chapter 11, if you would. Luke chapter 11. This chapter opens up with the model prayer and is followed by a parable demonstrating the need to continually seek God. Luke chapter 11, we'll begin at verse 14. Luke chapter 11, verse 14. It reads, "And he was casting out a devil," it should read demon, "and it was dumb, silent. And it came to pass, when the demon was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casted out demons through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto him," verse 17, "every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, demons, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." Here we read that the work of God through Jesus Christ was being ascribed to Beelzebub, another name for Satan. However, originally the name Beelzebub referred to the idol of the Ekronites, according to 2 Kings chapter 1. Ekron was one of the five principal cities of the Philistines. This Beelzebub was originally known as the Lord of flies, having the power to drive away troublesome flies. The Hebrew form or the writing of the term Baal means the Lord of dung or filth. The implication made by the Jews was that the idol of the Ekronites wasn't worth poo-poo or dung. This name Beelzebub was believed to have been transferred to Satan in contempt. Through ignorance, some associated the term with Jesus Christ, this Beelzebub. Please turn to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17 chapter. It's the spirit of Jezebel continues to the end. Revelation chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. It reads, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." This woman is a false church who promotes false doctrines, false prophecies, and statue worship, structured just like the Roman Empire with its basilicas and College of Cardinals. Verse 3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." Names of blasphemy, like infallible, Pope, meaning Papa or Father, Vicar of Christ, supreme sovereign over the church and the world, as Pope Innocent III declared himself. Verse 4, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hands, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, colors of harlotry. She loves money and has no regard for godly principles." Verse 5, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." The false worship initiated by physical Babylon through Nimrod is manifested spiritually through this false church, spiritual Babylon. And in verse 6, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." This woman, this false church, is the little horn in Daniel 7 that continues in the spirit of Jezebel until the time of the end, destroying all who reject her. Her character is revealed in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Jesus prophesied that he would destroy Jezebel and all those who joined her in committing spiritual adultery. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus identified this spirit in the church of Thyatira. Please turn to Revelation 2, please. Revelation chapter 2, begin at verse 18. It reads, "Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity, and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." This spirit participates in false prophecy. It teaches idolatry, sacrifices, and eats things sacrificed to idols. It is a seducing spirit, one that misleads. Continuing in verse 21, "And I gave her space or time to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Searcheth the reins and the hearts. God judges the person's mind and thoughts and rewards man according to his ways. Verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none of the burden. This spirit of Jezebel is a satanic spirit that is set out to destroy the work of God and the people of God. It is a spirit that we are advised to avoid. Please turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Psalm 84 reads, how amiable or beloved are thy tabernacles, O Eternal of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even faints, for the courts of the Eternal. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Eternal of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. O Eternal God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. For the Eternal God is a sun and shield. The Eternal will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walks uprightly. O Eternal of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Desire to dwell in the courts of the Almighty. This message is entitled The Spirit of Jezebel.